what a day will soon take place when the redeemed of Adam's race in an instant will all be transformed. They'll come from near, some from afar, on past the moon, beyond the stars. What a sight on that great happy morn. God's mighty angel takes his stand upon the sea and on the land, and he sounds that great trumpet blast. Then like a thousand thunders roar, declares that time shall be no more. World stop, for this day's the last. The trump will sound, amens resound, the saints will rise up from the ground. Such singing and shouting. We've run the race, we'll see his face, and start to sing Amazing Grace. What a sight on the resurrection morn. Then sea and land give up their dead, the earth too long has been their bed. Released, they rise through the air. They'll come and join as magnet drawn to gather round that great white throne. Behold, their king waiting there. The mighty band will start to play the hallelujah chorus that day. All glory to the King of all kings. Then tears of joy will start to flow, because I've chosen long ago to be there when the saints start to sing. The trump will sound, amens resound, the saints will rise up from the ground. Such singing and shouting. We've run the race, we'll see his face, and start to sing Amazing Grace. What a sight on that resurrection morn. We've run the race, we'll see his face, and start to sing Amazing Grace. What a sight on that resurrection morn. Resurrection morn.
That's good. That's a great old song. Thank you, Brother Stone. All right, Titus chapter 1. Find that place in your Bible. You're getting familiar with it. In the New Testament, toward the end, going past the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then coming right along there to a very short book, the book of Titus, the letter written to him, three chapters long. And we're going to be reading from chapter 1 this morning. And we'll read the first four verses as the text for the message today. So chapter 1, book of Titus. If you're able to stand in honor of God's word, join me now. And we'll read together. Follow along. I'll read verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, amen about that, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I want to speak this morning on the subject manifesting the magnified word. Manifesting. You see verse number 3 here. He hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand with an open Bible this morning, our own copy of your word. Now, please open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your book today. Help me, dear Lord, as I speak. I pray that you'll control my thoughts, my tongue, speak with clarity, and that, Lord, there will be great liberty in the room this morning to preach your word. And Spirit of God, we need you for that. So we turn this over to you. Pray that you'll fill both speaker and listener with your spirit, with your power, so that we can get what we need to learn today from the blessed book of God. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. So the theme for our church in 2023, you saw it on the little banners out here, is the magnified word. I don't want us to lose sight of that theme, the magnified word, the magnified word. Psalm 138 and verse number 2, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Do you reverence God's name? If you reverence God's name, he has magnified his word above all his name. Now, that's why we're singing scripture songs this year, throughout the entire year. That's why we're memorizing verses, and that's why we're reading specific passages as a church family, and we're learning about the King James Bible on Sunday nights during Bible Bits, and we'll resume that tonight. We didn't have it during the revival, but we are trying to make much of the Word of God, the magnified Word. If God has magnified his word, it would be right for us to do the same. And so we're doing that. Titus was a preacher who was trained under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. You know that. You'll find his name mentioned several times in the book of 2 Corinthians, the second letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. You'll find his name mentioned twice in Galatians, once in 2 Timothy, and of course in verse number 4 here. So when Titus received this letter from Paul, he was serving on the island of Crete, which is just off the coast of Italy there in the Mediterranean Sea. And Paul gave him his marching orders in verse 5. Look at it together. We didn't read it, but look at it. For this cause left I thee in Crete. So Paul left Titus in Crete, and here's the reason: that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So there's his marching orders on the island of Crete, which had over 100 cities, not very long. But Paul said, get busy and get churches established in every city on the island of Crete. Get pastors in place. And that was Titus's responsibility. Now, this letter is from an older preacher to a younger one. And it didn't take long for Paul to mention the subject of preaching. Now, that's a common subject of discussion between two preachers. Brother Ross and I, we spent some time together during the revival, and a lot of that time was spent talking about the subject of preaching, and it's a common subject. Now, there's no discussion here between Paul and Titus. There's just a statement that Paul makes to Titus about God's magnified word and the preaching of it. And he says in verse number 2, before I get there, he says in verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now, church, here's what this means. That means that God first spoke his word before the world began. I have no problem believing that, because God did not begin to exist in Genesis 1:1. God has existed from eternity past and will exist through eternity future. So I can't wrap my mind around it. That's because he's a great big God. Really, we heard on Monday night, okay? So but I have no problem believing that. I taught about this on a Wednesday night not too long ago. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And that doesn't just mean forever and eternity future. That means from eternity past. Through eternity future, God's word has been settled in heaven. The word settled means stationed. It means established. That's what it means. So the word of God is stationed in heaven. It's set, it's posted, it's placed in heaven. God's word is stationed in a place where God rules and God reigns. Now think about this, and we're moving on here. Everything connected to man changes over time. Everything. God's word is the same from everlasting past through everlasting eternity, to everlasting future. It's unchanged eternally. Now, again, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that because it's difficult for finite minds to completely comprehend the infinite. But, folks, the power and the honor and the wisdom and the righteousness of Almighty God has stationed every word that is in our Bible, and it is stationed where He resides in His place called heaven. God first spoke His word. Before the world began, before the heaven and earth were created, the atmospheric heaven and the earth that you and I live on. But it says in verse number 3, after he spoke the world before his word before the world began, he said in verse number 3, but he hath in due times. This word that he spoke before the world began, he hath in due times. What does due times mean? It means in his own proper time. In his own proper time, God has manifested his word through preaching, which is committed, Paul said, unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So get the picture. Paul is telling Titus that God spoke his word into existence. His word was in existence before the world began, but God in due times, in his own proper time, has manifested his word through preaching according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now I want you to show you three truths from verse number 3 this morning. First of all, I want you to notice God's desire. Look at God's desire. You say, where is his desire? In verse number 3, it says that God hath manifested his word. Manifested his word. There's God's desire. What does manifested mean, folks? Manifested means to make known. To make apparent, to make evident, to make plainly recognized. You know what? It's wonderful. It is God's desire to make his word known, to make his word plainly recognized to mankind. God does not want his word to be hidden to man. He desires for it to be known by man. Is that not a great help to mankind? Isn't it a great help for us to know and plainly recognize the truths of God's book? Yes, it is. It's a great help. And here's why. God's word is nourishing food. His word is cleansing water. His word is guiding light. His word is perpetual heat. Now, I've said before that if all you and I had physically on earth was food, water, light, and heat, physical life could be sustained. It might be a little difficult, inconvenient, but if all we had physically was food, water, light, and heat, we could sustain physical life. Now, the Bible is all of those, and if all you have is a Bible, guess what? You can sustain spiritual life. Spiritual life can be sustained. Now, as Baptists, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. We don't believe that you have to go through a man to talk to God. We don't believe you have to go through a man to learn the Word of God. We believe as a born-again child of God, you have the potential to read the Bible for yourself and learn its truths. Baptists don't try to tell you, don't look at the Bible, listen to what the church says. No, Baptists say this is what the church says because it's in the Bible. It comes out of God's book, okay? Now, he wants us to know his word. His word is an inexhaustible well of truth, wisdom, knowledge, comfort, and power. No person, nobody has ever reached the bottom of any one truth found in the Word of God. Not one. You can read a passage in this book 50 times, and on time 51, the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to a truth you've never seen. Out of the same passage. You say, well, it's a new truth. No, it's not a new truth. The truth has been there the whole time. But new light from the Holy Ghost of God shines on it. And that illumination helps us and teaches us. And that can be true for every believer in this room. Every believer in this room. Now, there is one factor about knowing the Word of God that I need to mention. And that is, even though God desires for people to know His Word, God makes it very clear that only those who are born again can learn the truths of the Bible. And I didn't just say that or make that up. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man. What does that mean? Man in his natural condition. Man, woman, boy, or girl. In their natural condition, which is a lost condition, which is an unsaved condition. It's how we're born into this world with this sin nature. And we're born into this world because of a sin nature with a dead spirit. And the natural woman, the natural man, the natural teenage young man, the natural teenage young lady, boy or girl, the natural lost person, look at it, listen, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You ever had anybody at work laugh at your belief about the Bible? Make fun of what you believe? Why, that's ridiculous. It's foolishness unto them. Okay? But he goes on to say, neither can he know them, listen, because they are spiritually discerned. This is a spiritual book. If I have a dead spirit, my dead spirit cannot discern spiritual truth. The Spirit of God makes known the truth of God's Word, but any person in their natural or unsaved condition cannot discern the truth of a spiritual book. They are spiritually discerned. Only people whose dead spirit has been made alive through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ can understand and discern God's Word. You know what I'm saying this morning, folks? I'm saying, look, it takes salvation in Christ Jesus to discern the truths of that book. You say, well, I can't understand. And look, no person wraps their mind completely around everything in here. But if you say, you know what, I don't understand anything about the Bible, is your spirit dead? Has it been made alive? Well, I was baptized. It doesn't work. You can get a wet, dead spirit. Well, I'm a member of a church. In fact, our family's name has been on the church roll for decades. Doesn't work. How do I discern? How do I learn scriptural truth, spiritual truth? You got to have a living spirit, and that happens the moment a person humbles themselves and confesses their sinful condition before a holy God and realizes that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only thing that makes it possible for their spirit to be alive and trust in Jesus. And at that moment in time, I said moment in time, not process of time, but in that moment of time, the spirit is made alive. Made alive through Christ. Through Christ. There's a lot of religion in the world. A lot of religion. Full of dead spirit. Not born again. No new life in Christ. Through Christ. Okay? And that's the only way that a person can read this book and discern spiritual truth. They have to have a spirit that's alive. Folks, if you've never trusted in the finished work of Christ for your salvation from sin, then your spirit is dead. Your mind is closed to the truths of God's book. So if you'll be saved, if you'll be born again, you can begin to discern the truths from God's book. You know what? That's God's desire. God's desire is not for His book to be a closed book. His desire is for His book to be open. And I don't mean just physically. I mean open. Right? Yeah. Where you read it and you think, oh, wow, I see that. I get that. Whoa. I'm not even going to go through my story again. I've told it so many, over 32 years here, and people can tell the story better than I. But that book was closed to me until the night that I got born again. Yes, sir. That's And the next morning, as I began to read it, I didn't understand it completely right away. Still don't today. But that old fire burned in my heart where there had never been fire before. There's fire now. All right? And that's God's desire for every person here. Not just for the pastor or the assistant or the school administrator, not just for a privileged few. No, 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 no. God's desire is for his book to be open and discerned by every person. All right? He manifested his word. All right, now look, number two. Let me show you God's means. God's means. The next two words are in verse number three there. Manifested his word through, what do you got? Preaching. So you said, well, hang on, Pastor. Just a moment ago you said that any born-again person can read the Bible for themselves and discern it. That's true. But God has also chosen a specific means by which his word is made known to us, clear, evident to us. And that means that vehicle is preaching. Now, that's what he said. Now, look, if I want to go from geographically, if I want to go from point A to point B, and it's too far to walk, I can make the trip by way of a vehicle. It might be my own vehicle. It might be a city bus. It might be a taxi cab, which are Ubers. It could be a bicycle, Tom, amen. It could be a plane. It could be any, but whatever vehicle I choose to use, I can get from point A to point B using that vehicle, right? That's pretty easy. Now, I don't get to choose, and you don't get to choose what vehicle to use when it comes to learning the truths of God's word. I can learn them to a degree as I read it for myself, but to fully know, and I'm going to explain that in just a minute, there is a vehicle that God has chosen. And God has chosen the vehicle of preaching to make his word known and evident. And that word preaching is an interesting word. It has a unique definition. The word means to herald, parentheses, as a public crier. Divine truth. Say, Pastor, why are you raising your voice? I'm preaching. I'm a public crier. To proclaim, listen, after the manner of a herald. 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 That's what the word means. Now, folks, listen. I can learn as a born-again child of God. I can discern spiritual truths out of God's spiritual book, but I'm not going to fully know and make clear and make evident all the spiritual truths that are in this book if I don't get under Bible preaching. I mean, listen to the definition of the word. To herald as a public crier divine truth. Let me ask those of you that have devotions at home. This morning, I think probably about, well, I don't know what it was, 5:20, I read Isaiah 51 through 55. I didn't get to chapter 53 and from my recliner, who hath believed our report? Did you read the Bible like that this morning? You don't read your Bible, you don't read the Bible like that to yourself. Crying out from your chair or your kitchen table. Ah, the neighbors will think you're a nut, okay? They already do because you come to church so often. Right? Family's going to everything. No. Listen, a town crier lifted his voice and proclaimed the message he had been given to deliver. And I want to say this today, church. That public crier, he dared not deliver that message in a dull and apathetic manner with no enthusiasm. It's not his message. It came from a higher authority. There's a place for the teaching of God's word. Your Sunday school teacher probably didn't scream from their pulpit or their lectern this morning. I say probably because I'm not in every Sunday school class. Maybe Vicky Scow did. I don't know. But anyway, I doubt that happened in your Sunday school class. There's a place for the teaching of God's word. But God's chosen means to make it clear and evident and fully known is preaching. And I believe there's a reason for this. Listen carefully. God's word, if it's going to be clearly evident in my life and in your life, it has to do more than be received in the mind. And that's what happens with teaching. You know, up there teaching along, and this verse means this, and this means this, and point one, and it's information, and teaching goes into your mind, and that's wonderful. But if it stays there, all that is accomplished is knowing the truth. And that's helpful, but it's not the entire scope of what God wants. It's not the full scope of God's desire. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, knowledge puffeth up. It's sad, but there's a lot of saved people who are full of arrogance about what they know concerning the Word of God. But it's not evident in their life because it hasn't moved from their mind to their emotion to their will. And that's God's desire, people. God's desire is for His truth to travel from the mind to the emotion to the will of the listener. The mind, emotion, and will, they make up the what? The soul of a person. And God's desire is for His truth to travel through our soul and become a part of our daily experience to be lived out in our daily lives. And I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing that will make, now don't miss this, there's nothing that will make the truth of this book more clear and more evident than when you and I start to live it. Start to live it. It's more than just sticking in our head. Yeah, I know the Bible teaches this and I know the Bible teaches that. Okay, that's good. But that's not God's, the full scope of God's desire. The full scope of God's desire is for that truth to move from our mind to our emotions. So I don't think emotion ought to be involved. Are you, folks, emotion is involved in everything. God made us an emotional creature because that's what our God is. He's emotional. Now, His emotions are under control, and ours need to be as well. But that makes up the soul of a person. The soul of a person is the thoughts, the emotions, the feeling, and the choices, the will. And listen to me, when we incorporate God's, the full scope of God's desire, when it comes to spiritual truth, when we incorporate it into our life, our daily life, then the power of this book is going to be evident in our life. The reality of the truth of this book, it will be evident in our life. You know why? Because this book, this truth changes us. It changes us. Changes us. This is why I did not want one of these things. Turn that off. I have no idea. And that's why I will not wear it anymore. Crazy things going off. That's a long story. I don't have time to go into it. And I'm afraid I can't control my emotions if I do, so I'm just going to move right ahead. Look, this book has the power to change every marriage relationship in this room. This book has the power to change every family in this room. This book has the power to change every teenager, every boy, every girl. But folks, the evidence of that power is not just when it's stuck in our head. It's when it's what? Lived in our life. And that's God's full. God's desire is not that we can discern the scripture so we can walk around and talk about how much we know. God's desire is that we learn it, Brother Allen, and then put it to work in our life. And then the evidence, the clear evidence of that book is lived in front of me every day in a changed life. Yeah, but for sake of the story, and I know for those of you who have used the story too many times, I guess, but, you know, Charles Darwin, the father of the theory of evolution, the theory is no fact in that. He's going to go first find his missing link. So he chooses the most backward heathen place on planet Earth that he knows of. And he figures, you know what, surely that place will stuck back in time, I can find the missing link. And he goes to the New Hebrides Islands. And Charles Darwin is appalled by what he sees on the Hebrides Islands because those people are eating each other. There's no roads, there's no schools, there's no churches, there's no clothes. And he leaves disgusted at the vileness, the barbarity. 30 years later, he goes back. 30 years. And there's roads. And there's no cannibals. And they're wearing clothes. And they have schools. And they have churches. You know what transpired in that 30-year time period? A missionary by the name of John Payton took this book to those people and began to preach it. And God manifested his word through preaching. And people began to get saved, made with an alive spirit, could understand the word. And they didn't just learn it up here. It changed their life. Changed their life. You say, well, yeah, I wear clothes and I don't eat anybody. Are you telling me you couldn't stand to be changed a little bit? You're telling me every marriage in this room couldn't stand to be helped a little bit? And this was the vehicle. Now, don't miss this. The vehicle that drives the truth from our mind to our emotion and our will is preaching. Preaching is what moves us to think about and feel deeply and ultimately choose to live God's truth. In your Sunday school class, it's a great lesson, but you probably at the end of the lesson are not moved to want to find a place to pray. Because teaching addresses the head. Preaching addresses the heart. And that's why at the end of a preaching service, your heart is moved and your emotions are deep and feeling deeply. And I need to pray, and you come to an altar. And that's the difference in preaching and teaching. And you don't leave it here. You take it home with you and incorporate it into your life. Now, there is a place for teaching, but there is a place for fervent, intense preaching. Paul commanded Timothy, preach the word. Public crier, herald divine truth, Timothy. You can have your Bible study and you can have your personal Bible reading, but when that group of born-again people assembles in the local church, preach the word. Let the Spirit of God stir people's emotions and get it in their thinking and then make choices to obey what they've heard from God's word. D.L. Moody said, the best way to revive a church is to build a fire in the pulpit. Charles Spurgeon said, preach not calmly and quietly. Yes, sir. As though you were asleep. I'm not. But preach with fire. And pathos, and passion. And listen to me very carefully. You cannot substitute blogs or podcasts or home Bible studies or videos or digital recordings or any other techno means for the verbal preaching of a spirit-filled preacher. I didn't say they were no good. I said you can't substitute it. Can't happen. That is the vehicle God has chosen. Preaching brings us close to God, keeps us close to God, helps us conform to the image of God, causes us to love God, allows us to grow in the knowledge of God, and motivates us to serve God. Look here, to place a low priority on the preaching of God's word is to insult and neglect the vehicle God is determined to make his word fully known in the life of his children. I would always joke over the years here about, boy, what if you could have anything you wanted? If you could have anything you wanted, what would you get? And mine was always a convertible red Corvette. Now, folks, really, I don't care. I don't need one of those. But, you know, just in the world of what if. I think you remember this story. Joyce and I flew to Long Beach, California to preach for Joe Esposito. His wife, Mary, came out of this church. For a building banquet. And we landed and some guy picked us up at the airport and took us to the church. And we went inside, Brother Esposito, and talked to him for a while. And he said, well, listen, he said, we got there early in the day. And he said, you got all afternoon. He said, come outside. So we go outside and there in the parking lot was a convertible red Corvette. And he said, here's the keys. Enjoy it. While you're here, go down highway, whatever it is, 1A there, goes along the Pacific Ocean. And he said, just take it. And I said, what'd you do? What do you think? He said, I got too much to do to go with you. I'm going back to the office. I got stuff to get done before the meal tonight and all that stuff. He said, I'll see you tonight. So what if he had come out in the afternoon? And there sat that red convertible Corvette in the parking lot. Oh, Brother and Mrs. Angel here? No, they're at the motel. They're over at a restaurant. Well, how did they get there? Oh, they walked. They took some. After Joe Esposito had gone to all the trouble and whatever you call that, kindness, to locate a convertible red Corvette that he heard somewhere that Brother Angel thought, you know, said he'd like to have one. What if I had neglected, Brother Allen, to even sit in that thing? Would that have been insulting to him? Would it? What if it never left the parking lot? I'm sorry, Brother Joe. I just did. Brother Terry, you didn't drive? No, I'm sorry. I just, you know, we didn't have time. Let me tell you something. I got a text this morning before 6 o'clock, which I really don't like to get, just in case you're wondering. And a member of the church was, man, pray for me. I'm in a bad way, and I don't know, and I can't. And I just went on and on and on, and I don't know if I'm saved, and, I just went on and on and on. I feel bad for him. But he has allowed circumstances and situations to take him out of the preaching of God's word. So I'm not going to sugarcoat stuff. Oh, you'll be okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. Brother, the reason you're struggling is you're not in preaching. What do you think, preaching's everything? I don't know. Folks, I just know that I got a book right here, and God said that he makes known, clear and evident, the truths of his book through preaching, definition, a public crier, a herald. That's what God said. Not me. That's God's means. And then I'm going to finish, and I've got just a couple of minutes. With God's command. Because I want to get to this. Look at the end of verse 3. So he's manifested his word. Look at it now. Through preaching. There's his desire. Manifested his word. His means. Through preaching. Now his command. Which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Who is the me in that verse? Paul. Right? Paul. The means of preaching. to make manifest, to make known God's word, was committed to Paul by the commandment of God. Because God commands some of his born-again men to preach his word so that his word can be made known. God does that. Now look, we all have a responsibility to witness of God's truth to unbelievers. Right? All of us. I was in a business Friday morning, and I've done business with the business owner before, and I was in there again, and he and I were the only ones in the shop in his little office area. And he's a good guy. I like him. They do good work, particular kind of work. And he's a conservative firebrand politically. Man, he went off. I mean, there's plenty to go off about in there. He just went off, man. Second Amendment. And I couldn't get a word in edgewise until finally I just said, yeah, you know what? I get it, and it aggravates me too. But I have to look at things through a biblical worldview, not just a human worldview. And the biblical worldview is that when the tribulation comes and the Antichrist comes to power, he comes to power through the promise of peace and safety because the world is in chaos. And there's a one world government and a one world religion and one world economy. And that's what the Bible says. And America's economy is going down the tubes. I said, the biggest thing is to know for sure that you're born again on your way to heaven. And I've done witness to him before, and he tells me he is. I hope he is. And I said, and your kids. Now, that's not the kind of preaching I'm talking about. That's not the kind of preaching Paul's talking about here. The kind of preaching he's talking about here is the kind of preaching I'm doing this morning. And I just want to say this. If that commitment by the command of God has come to any of you younger men in this room, do not take that lightly. I get a little bit confused at times as teenage young men speak of being called to preach, either as pastor, missionary, whatever, evangelist, and then they graduate from high school and that call is not pursued. And excuses are made about the call. I'm not sure it was a real call, just emotional. And I don't know, scattered across this room this morning are young men who have said to Brother Andrew and said to me, I feel like God has called me to preach, and I'm glad that's true. Do not take that lightly. God calls men by his command to preach his word, not for the purpose of being famous or popular. And if you preach it like it's written, you're not going to be real popular. He's called men to preach so that his eternal truth can be fully known. Not in the head, in the lives of his people. Amen and amen and amen. I thank God for the men that God called and commanded to preach the book to me when I got saved. Wow. I ate it up. It changed my life. That's God's desire, friend, for you and me and all of his kids, all of mankind, to fully know his truth. And the vehicle that he's chosen to go from point A to point B is the vehicle of preaching. And he calls men to preach it so that we can do just that. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Now let me ask you a couple of questions. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart in a specific way. Maybe this whole matter of just God's desire is for you to, just not to know the Bible in your mind, but in your life. And you say, Pastor, I'm lacking in that area. I know I could use the help of God's word, the help of God's truth in my life, my marriage, my family, my business, my work. Everything. I just, in a particular way, I know that's what I need. Can I see your hand this morning? If that's you, I need that. I see your hands going up. Amen, amen, amen. That's God's, that's the full scope of his desire, is for us to know it evidently in our lives. Are you disregarding? Are you neglecting the vehicle that God has gone to the trouble of using to help you get from point A to point B? Man, don't miss preaching. Be here. Be in your place. Open your heart to the truths of God's word. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God really spoke to me about this thing this morning. Pray for me. Can I see your hand? What about something else? Anything? Yes, I see your hands. Thank you. Take it down. Now, would there be anybody here this morning say, okay, Pastor, that part about salvation and a dead spirit and a living spirit, I have no idea. I don't know if my spirit's alive or dead. I don't know if I'm saved or not or lost. I don't know what I am. I have no assurance of heaven. I have kind of a wish to go there, but no concrete assurance. And I'd like to know for sure that when I leave this world, I'm going to heaven, that I can understand God's word. Pray for me. If that's you this morning, could you slip your hand in the air, just being honest before God? God bless you. Amen. Somebody else. Not sure that I'm saved. Somebody else. God bless you. Amen. You may take your hands down. If I were you, right now, I'd turn right to the person next to you in the row. The person sitting next to you, ma'am, can show you how to be saved this morning. And just turn, let them take the Bible and show you how to be saved today. That's right. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved, but God's speaking to my heart right now. If you're here today, you've been saved and not baptized, and follow the Lord and believers' baptism, it's what you came for, then I want you to come this morning. While we pray. Father, I pray that you'll bless in our church service today. Thank you for the attention of the folks. Thank you for the preaching of your word that makes known, fully known, to our hearts, our minds, emotions, and wills. Makes it evident in our life how powerful a book it is. Thank you for the preaching of your word. Help us not to disregard it. Christ's name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, begin the song of invitation. We're not going to be long this morning. You obey the Lord. If you need to be baptized, the fellows are here. Come down and tell them this morning. If you need to change your attitude toward the preaching of God's word, come this morning. Let the Bible start to change you. While we wait, while we wait today, some are being helped from the Bible today. Do you need help? The vehicle of preaching is what God uses to make his truth, his powerful truth, fully known in our lives, fully evident.